Please be seated. Thank you. I need to make sure that my assistant is ready to spring into action. She is. We're from 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. We're fairly shortly, yes. Good. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving Father, thank you for the gift of this day. And also, Lord, thank you for the gift of one another and the fellowship that we share in you. So, Lord, as we meet and worship and pray together this morning, we pray that you'll speak into our hearts and minds the words that you're wanting to share with us, your people. And we ask that we may hear your word and that we may act on it in our lives for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's lovely to be with you, and we have just come back from a week in Norfolk. We certainly know how to live. We had a lovely time. We had a lovely time because we were with people whom we've known for 20 years now. They were our former parish at Saxmundham, and we started a caravan week with them because there were quite a few of us who had caravans, so it was an obvious thing to do. And so we go away roughly around this time of year together, and we have a lovely few days together. And it's very relaxed. There's a lot of cake, there's a lot of coffee, and a lot of fun. We play various games, and we go off on activities and so on. It's super. It's called fellowship. And it's natural because they are a very loving group. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. And my question to you is, don't panic, is what do you think is your crowning achievement in your life so far? Okay, what is your crowning achievement in your life so far? Now, we might have various crowning achievements, you know, and they might be smaller ones or some might be larger ones. But we will all have them, even if your mind has now gone blank and you can't think of anything. In case you think I'm going to ask, well, I am going to ask. Would someone like to share with me their one of their crowning achievements? Oh, David.
Pinching my friend's girlfriend to become my lovely wife.
Well, there's a mixed message there, I think. But we understand why you did it, you know. Good choice, David. Oh, Rachel, please, Rachel, do not tell me that. No, okay, yeah.
I was going to say,
yes.
The wonderful family that we have got.
Yes, super. Yes, and we would also echo that as well. And like, I'm sure, like yourselves, you know, I can remember when each of our daughters was born. And although in those days I wasn't allowed to be present at the birth, but very soon after, you know, and to have that little child put into your arms, by goodness me, you look at this child and you think, what an amazing thing this is. What a gift of life, you know, a real crowning achievement. And there'll be other things about work, perhaps in our work careers or as mums, whatever it might be. We will have these various crowning achievements. Now, Paul, i.e. St. Paul, had a crowning achievement, and it's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 2, and Brenda's just going to remind us of that particular verse. It's 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19, and Paul says this:
"For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you?"
Thank you very much. So, you see, for Paul, for once, for some reason or another, and we're going to look at this in just a sec, it was the Thessalonian church which for him was a crown. And you may remember that how it all came about, because in Acts chapter 17, you know, we can see there and read there how Paul, accompanied by Timothy and by Silas, comes to Thessalonica. Thessalonica is a bustling seaport. It's a trade centre and it's a communication centre because it's on that great Roman road that went up into the Danube. It's an important area, Greek speaking. And Paul comes there with his two companions, and he's there for 3 Sundays, 3 weeks. And his preaching is so powerful that it stirs everybody up. In fact, we're told that his preaching turned the world upside down. And it caused a huge stir. Isn't that wonderful to have preaching which creates a huge stir? Perhaps a bit like Michael Curry's address at the Royal Wedding, you know, which is still going on. You know, so I don't mean the wedding's going on, but I mean Michael Curry is that particular thing. And it was something very special about that occasion that spoke into the hearts and minds of so many people. Well, Paul and his companions were doing that for 3 Sundays, so much so that it stirred up a lot of opposition. And so the brethren decided that it was for Paul's own safety, he needed to go. And so he got shunted out after 3 weeks, and he went to Berea, first of all, then to Athens, and finally to Corinth, where he wrote the letter, part of which we heard this morning, 1 Thessalonians. But because he'd only been there for 3 weeks, Paul is now worried and concerned about them. You know, sometimes we think of Paul being rather, I don't know how to say this really without being offensive, but he was something of a zealot really. He gives that impression. You know, he's not the sort of person you'd want to be accosted by in the high street or something like that. You know, it could be a pain. It is quite an intellect, superb theologian, and very determined. But also, he was a tremendous pastor. And it's that compassion that comes out in this letter to the Thessalonians. And we begin to see what's actually on his heart. You know, he has a concern for this foundling church who he was responsible for. He's aware that he's only had 3 weeks of teaching there. He hasn't completed the syllabus. He's only done part of the Alpha course with them. And so he's worried about them because we're around about the year AD 50, 51. There is persecution of Christians. There's torture. There's abuse. And this is happening to those young Christians at Thessalonica. Paul had warned them while he was there that it would happen. And sure enough, it has. Now Paul is really anxious, rather like an expectant father. You know, how's this child, as it were, of his, this young church, how's it getting on? Will it survive? Will they be tempted to backslide or to renounce what they previously believed? So he decides to send Timothy to go back there and to help them, to encourage them, to build them up, to fill in at least some of the gaps which Paul hadn't got round to doing, and then to report back to Paul. And this is where we get to in our reading which we had this morning. A reading in which we're at 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5.
For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless.
The heart of a pastor. He cares for his flock. You see, that's what pastoring's about. It's about loving your people. You know, one of our former vicars, from whom we learned an awful lot, had a little throwaway phrase talking about the fellowship. Love them and shove them was the phrase. Always remember it. Love them and shove them. You know, you've got to love your people. That's at the heart of ministry. And Paul actually emphasizes that. You remember that amazing passage in 1 Corinthians 13 where he talks about love. You know, it starts off something like, you know, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels but have not love, I'm like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, no matter what the inspiration, if there's no love there, it's noise. Doesn't matter how good the preaching is or the teaching, without love, it's noise. You know, Jackie Pullinger, when she went first off to the Forbidden City, and she went about sort of saying to people in the street, God loves you. And she couldn't understand why there was no response. There was blank looks. And suddenly she twigged that they didn't know what love was. They didn't know what love was. And so it needed a practical aspect. And they went about working with the drug addicts and helping them and supporting them, helping to feed them and so on. Then they began to understand what love was. So love is required, needed. It's desperately needed. And Paul knows that. And he goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 19, which we had right at the very beginning.
Do you want it again?
Yes, please. My sat nav doesn't do that.
For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you?
It's an amazing thing to say about these young Christians. You know, they have more than survived, they have flourished. After 3 weeks of teaching and encouragement, and it is successful because we are told that many, many Greeks and women, I'm not quite sure of the tack on bit and women, but anyway, that's what it says. Many Greeks and women believed. So it is successful. But you know, in Paul's crown, which is the Thessalonian church, you know, there are two huge, sparkling, shining gems. The first of those gems is their faith. And the second of those gems is their love. You know, these are the two things that Timothy reports back. He comments on their faith and he comments on their love. He doesn't comment on their numbers. That was unimportant. But the quality of their fellowship, that was hugely important. Faith and love. Those two things are the shining gems in Paul's crown, which is the Thessalonican church. As I said earlier, we were up in Norfolk on the caravan week with our former church. And we've been to various sites each year. We have been going to different sites, but for the past four occasions, we've been to the same site in Norfolk, and we have got to know the owners rather well. It's two girls who own the site, and they've got to know us extremely well, and we're the only group that they allow on their site. And they allow us to meet because they are always surprised by our attitude to each other and the special relationship, i.e. the love, which we share with one another as part of our faith. And they see, they're not Christians, but they see that, they recognize it, they can feel it, that here is something special. And so they ask us questions. And we, bit by bit, have been explaining things to them at their pace as the opportunity arrives. And we always have a communion service. We've had communion services on the beach. We've had the communion services in ruined abbeys. And we have our communion services in the campsite, or on the campsite, I should say. And last year, when we had our communion service on the campsite, we invited both of the owners to join us. One of them did. And we were delighted. It was lovely. This year, having got alongside them a little bit more, we had a crazy golf competition. They just set up a crazy golf course, but with Norfolk themes, and it's brilliant. And we had this competition one evening, and they participated. They joined with us to do this. And God's great, because the two people who came joint first with 27 shots were the two girls. We didn't rig it, I can assure you, we are quite competitive. We didn't rig it, but they won. Isn't that wonderful? It was lovely. So on the back of that success, we said, well, tomorrow we've got our communion service. We're going to have it at midday. Would you like to come and meet with us and join with us? Both of them came this year. And one was in tears from the start to the finish, as the love of God spoke into her heart and her mind. Very special. Faith and love together. The love which is all embracing. Not just for the in crowd, but for those who don't know the Lord Jesus. Faith and love, the gemstones in that young church at Thessalonica. The qualities which Timothy commented on in his report back to Paul, and which Paul saw as the crowning achievement. Faith and love. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the lessons which we've been learning this morning from that passage in 1 Thessalonians. And Lord, we're just so excited as we join with Paul in just thinking about those young Christians and how he rejoiced over their love and their faith. And so, Lord, we too would want to rejoice with one another over the love which you pour out to each and every one of us, and the opportunities that you then give us to share that same love with each other. Help us, Lord, to do that, that we also might be those shining gems in the crown which is your church. And in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.